96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Hope you had a great weekend. And are doing exceptionally well today. If you want to give us a call at all on the show, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or you can call us on, I don't know why these numbers trying to hide from me on this glorious Monday. They are hiding. Anyways, if you want to text us today, the numbers to do so are 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Today for me is going to be an open line. And I'm going to tell you why it is that way. Because I don't gather that there are things happening in the country now. There's activity. But I don't gather that there is anything that causes us to see, believe that there is any clear, distinct, major thrust, direction, push happening. I don't gather that, but I could be totally wrong. Maybe my world is being absorbed by other things, and maybe I'm missing it. But as I scan through the media, as I listen to people speak, as I try to observe what is happening around us, I don't get the impression that there is anything in the way of something major happening. That there's any major push or thrust or anything that's happening. Again, so I'm appealing to you to tell me. Maybe you have something on your mind. Maybe there's something going on that I'm missing. Now I can tell you, listen to me. I can tell you that lots of things are going on in the background of the political environment in the country. I can tell you that, right? That's in the background of the politics of the country. That's not like if there are major policy things happening, et cetera, well, I'm not sure. I can point to some, what could potentially be some major policy things, and I'll talk to you about some of those. But a lot of politics is happening in the background. You know, for instance, on the governing party side of things, there's a lot going on because the prime minister still has major diplomatic postings to fill. And I can tell you that kind of thing is very high pressured, strenuous for a prime minister, because it's kind of like this. He would have in his head who he thinks, or the kind of person he thinks, should be posted to Washington, should be posted to London, should be posted to Ottawa, should be posted to Havana, Port-au-Prince, who should be council general here, who should be council general there, and that kind of thing, right? It's strictly within his purview, okay? They are going to be envoys to the country, to those cities. And by the way, you become ambassador to a city, the capital city. You become that for that country, but you are posted, for instance, you're the ambassador for the Bahamas to Washington, D.C. That's where your posting is. That's where the mission is, right? You have political supporters, people who have been champions of your cause. And sometimes, you know, they see themselves a way, you see them a different way, but you have all these competing factions who feel in some ways politically entitled to some kind of expression of gratitude for the work that they have done. And you feel the need to fulfill that appetite of theirs. But by the same token, you also have to bear in mind the responsibility and role of that person and what you are seeking to achieve abroad, and you wanna match. And it ain't always possible to get a match, but boy, the politics is strong. Oh man, the politics is strong. So I have no doubt that's going on in the background. That's the diplomatic postings. There's the boards that have to have appointments made to them. And that's another set of background political rumblings that will be going on. Who's going to be the chairman of this board? And their boards, the boards fit into A, B, C, and D categories, right? A category boards would be your BPL board, Bahamas Air board, and those. And then there's your B boards, the Water and Sewage Corporation, not an A board. And then there's your B boards. You know, I'm not entirely sure sometimes BAIC fits into A or B, but you know, they're board, the prerogative of mercy and those. And then there are your C boards, you know, Youth Advisory Committee and those kinds of things, depending on how they look at it. And each carry a little bit of a stipend. You ain't gonna get rich being none of them, unless you're executive chairman, you get a little better pay. But so there are those, and people, it's not about the money. People want these because I worked hard for you. I was a general and I expect to be acknowledged as someone of me. I also want to contribute. I want to make a contribution, and I want to be able to be one of the players on those boards that these other people occupied for the last 4.5+ years. I want to be one of those persons. And someone has to make that decision from amongst an almost unlimited group of people for a limited number of postings. And so all of that is going on in the background. There are some positions and vacancies, some held by former believed to be comrades or affiliates or allies of the former administration, and eyes get put on them too. You'll be surprised to know who out there amongst political supporters of the Progressive Liberal Party, for instance, who might be looking at any number of positions, any number of places, and saying, well, I should have that now because we are now in power. Some of the positions may be directly related to government. Some might have nothing to do with government, but for some reason in their heads, they think that I should be there. So you have all that. I mean, it is a furor activity, political activity. And I'm saying political because it is this political activity. This isn't about so much public policy. The responsibility of the prime minister is to be mindful of the public policy, but he is also the leader of a party with people who helped him get into office. And there is this ever competing tension between his politics and his public policy obligations. And so all that rumbling is taking place. Don't you mind what you aren't seeing out in the forefront, which we are not, to my mind, seeing? There is a great deal of rumbling happening in the background there, and all of that is taking place and more. On the public policy side of it, there is the consideration of, as the Prime Minister said, the budget. Now, almost 4 months into its life, from July, August, September, October, 4 months into its life, a new administration comes in. There has already been the indication that they don't think that that budget reflected the realities of the country's circumstances. And so the Prime Minister has indicated that there could be and might be a revisiting of that budget. So that's a heavy, heavy public policy activity that's taking place, right? Because it could have implications for many things, right? And so that's taking place. So there's that public policy issue. There are considerations of any number of COVID-19 pandemic-related issues that are being undertaken. And we are seeing that this COVID-19 pandemic is not relenting. Okay, people are dying in significant numbers for the size population we have. Recently, only today, we learned of the passing of General Colin Powell, great gentleman in the United States of America, served this country exceptionally well in both the military and then in political public life, who died from complications of COVID. Of course, he was fighting cancer, and that might have some complications with this issue. He was fully vaccinated and died from the complications of COVID-19. But the pandemic has not gone away. I keep telling us there is no declaration of the end of the pandemic without a declaration by the people who declared the pandemic, and that's the World Health Organization. So our countries continue to manifest the hardship and challenge and difficulty of the COVID-19 pandemic, and this is a major issue for the new administration to contend with. Having heavily criticized the former administration for its handling of it, it now has to apply its policy thrust to it. So far, we've seen only a tinkering with the rules for travel internal to the country, and we've heard promises of free testing and what have you. Remember, this was supposed to be followed up by significant contact tracing and all these kinds of things. Only recently, interestingly enough, the new health minister, Dr. Michael Darvill, the Honorable, said, listen, the former Prime Minister and Minister of Finance signed a loan with the Inter-American Development Bank only a day before election, but I don't mind that because we need those resources in order to secure supplies and material for the Ministry of Health, the public health system, in order to combat the COVID-19 thing. Now, that to me is a major, major concession because, you know, we have lamented the absence of rules about whether an administration at a certain period into an election should be able to take any major actions, like signing a loan, undertake any major obligations, just days on election. But in this instance, the current Minister of Health said, no, we don't have no difficulty with it because it was necessary. Which means that if you have rules about these things, apparently now you have to have rules that define certain circumstances, like apparently this one, where it's okay to sign a $40 million loan one day before election. We now have a precedence for it being done and a precedence for the opposition, now government, saying it has no difficulty with it having been done. So those are some of the major policy considerations. Now, on the opposition side of it, there's lots of politics going on around who will be the leadership of the Free National Movement following upon the next convention. Unless any of you are doubtful, the current leader of the opposition is very active in his pursuit of retaining his position as leadership. All right, let's be clear. Don't mind all that. I was surprised to hear the leader say that he doesn't talk party business when he was asked about this. Yet the chairman of the party came behind and answered the press's questions about it. So apparently the chairman didn't mind talking the party business to the press. Why should he? The political parties are a part of your political system. And they owe and have a certain responsibility to the public, just like the government they seek to be one day. And so party business, I mean, you're either running or you're not running. I wouldn't say I don't talk party business. I'd say, listen, I'm not prepared to answer that question at this time, which means you've answered the question, because if you can't tell me that you are not running, that means you are considering running. If you are not definitive on what you're doing, that means you are uncertain, which means that all possibilities exist. You might not run, you might run. So there's lots of activity going on around that. I can tell you lots of activity going on around that. And so that's, but whatever you're not seeing openly in the background, you can be certain that there's lots of activity going on around that. Now, with that said, on the governing party side, on the opposition party side, am I off in saying that if you were on an aircraft and you were seeking to understand the direction your aircraft was going, what is it headed to? Miami, is it headed to Fort Lauderdale? Is it going to Jamaica? Is it going to Canada? Is it going to Brazil? If the Bahamas was that aircraft, could you discern, like with some clarity, a motion, a movement, a thrust in a definable direction at this time? Is the question I have. Because I don't see it. Like I said, there's lots of activity, lots of stuff going on. I don't get it. I don't see that so much. But again, I might be wrong. We're going to take a break, our first break, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come back, we will continue this open line kind of look at what's going on. We'll be back. After this break, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host. Take a stand, everybody.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I just want you to know I'm actually in Freeport, Grand Bahama, you know. And so the nation's second city is right here, trying to survive it, do what it has to do. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have an open line today. If you want to call, please feel free. If you want to share text-wise, please feel free. I'm trying to get a sense of if you were in this aircraft call, the Bahamas, do you get a sense that it has momentum somewhere, going somewhere or the other is what I am asking. I have a text here I want to read for you. The text says, good afternoon, sir. With this new government, as with all, it is about the people, more so with this government than the last. Let the people ask for their piece of the pie now. It did not happen on the minister and his government. We can row later. Okay, now, I don't understand what you mean, okay? Because in this dispensation, if you're going to dialogue with me, you're going to have to be more intentional about the words you use so that we can get more clearly your meaning. So for instance, who's the people? You say, let the people ask for what they want. Who are they? What do you mean? Who's that? So what if somebody calls, maybe two people, three people call on this show and ask, I want a job for me and my family in the government. Is that the people? What if a group of F&Ms got up and said, no, we want X, Y, and Z? Is that the people? What if a group of PLPs got up and said, oh, we want this? Is that the people? What if a group of DNA or COI got up and said, we want natural resources and $100,000 a year from the government for each adult Bahamian? Is that the people? See, who's the people? That is a political expression that we use that represents an abstract notion of collectiveness of the society, represented in ways by factions who sometimes have opposing points of view about what they want. Let me give you an example. Some of the people wanted the F&M. Some of the people wanted the PLP. Some of the people wanted the DNA and COI, right? It says, no problem, the Bahamian people. No, but what does that mean? The Bahamian people, F&Ms are Bahamians, PLPs are Bahamians, COIs are Bahamians, independents are Bahamians. Black people are Bahamians, black Bahamians. There is no real instruction or clarity provided by expressions like the people or Bahamians want, because none of us can speak for all Bahamians, saving and except, listen to me now, because you can get a lesson of your life, saving and except for the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, who can go abroad and speak on behalf of the people. And he may say things on behalf of the people that some of the people don't even agree with. But he can, because he has delegated authority to do so. That's why this isn't, to be honest with you, let's be functional. If you are the leadership of the country today, you have to listen as carefully as you can to people as they express their views, et cetera. But you will always understand, you are not going to get a united voice from, in quote, the people, in quote, Bahamians, et cetera. You have got to lead. you've got to be able to learn from that listening, discern for yourself based on any set of advice and counsel and calculations, what is to be done with this power I have been given that I believe could benefit the people of the Bahamas. That's all you can do. Listen to the people. How's he going to do that? What's going to happen? He's going to listen to the talk shows, read the letters to the editor, look at comments online, and that's the people. It's some of them. It will be some of them. But no, I'm sorry. Leadership in this time requires a great more sophistication than that. And that leadership in real measured requires making judgments about issues that arise. We've got caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon. Boy, you know, I must apologize. I almost said evening because I'm a couple time zones away sometimes.
Okay.
But you said that you haven't seen, I'm sure in the previous administration, a clear, distinct, if I could find a word you use, major thrust. I'm pretty sure you must have seen that in the first
To be honest, no, sir, I did not. I saw significant reactions to things that were happening. Though I must say in the Ministry of Finance, I saw prior to the departure of Mr. Turnquest, a major thrust in the direction of fiscal consolidation. I did see that.
Okay. No, fair enough, because I haven't seen it either. But we would love to see something of that nature, actually, where the Bahamians can just, whatever direction they're looking in, begin to look in that direction, say, hey, this is a major, significant, distinct, clear thrust. Well, that may happen, it might not happen. You know why it might not happen? Because we have inherited a belief system where we run around with phrases that trapped us into ignorance. Have you ever heard the one, practice make perfect?
Yes.
Yeah, practice are permanent, because you become permanently perfect at whatever you practice. And what we've been doing was practicing seesawing between these two political parties. So we are permanently, apparently, practicing this seesaw. And if we can... Sorry?
No, I said nothing.
And if we continue to... Maybe you should when they... this party, I can't remember the name. I think it used to be UBP and then they changed to FNM. You should at the convention...
That's not historically true. That's not historically true. Not at all.
I know it's
that's
not. You know I know it's not, right?
But I want... You know, we have many listeners, some of whom are very young and may not know better. So we want to make sure they have the right history, right?
The philosophy.
That isn't true either.
Well, now, Miss.
Let me give you an example. Let me explain why you could have a factual challenge with what you're saying.
Let me hear you.
The philosophy of the Free National Movement in 1992 was very much shaped Hubert Alexander Ingram in terms of governance. Hubert Alexander Ingram, prior to coming to the Free National Movement, spent decades in the Progressive Liberal Party, even at one time the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party and also a cabinet minister in there. You are telling me now that Hubert Alexander Ingram, in shaping the policies of the government under his administration, embraced that which was UBP? I can also tell you, sir,
that the day after he won, I saw him driving into Lafayette Key, and I know who he met. This is where
It doesn't matter who he met. I met the third highest ranking person in the Communist Party in China when I visited on official duties. So what did that mean? That meant I was a communist?
Just after you won.
It doesn't
just
matter
when
it doesn't matter
him?
Before or after. Come on,
that's
man. You know better
you
than
do?
That. You know better than that. You know better than that. Lafayette Key represents a great business interest in the Bahamas. There are
that's
lots
probably
of great business
all
interests
about.
In the
okay,
Bahamas.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Well, I could work with this because I would love to see a clear, major, distinct thrust coming soon. And I would love even you showing up, nominating yourself to be leader of that party, that the previous leader seems to have more ability now to talk that he is no longer leader.
So let me see
a clear, major thrust by you putting yourself in, since you could do this, trust this.
But what would be exceptionally good in terms of beginning that clarity of direction is if the prime minister took opportunity, and he may do so, I don't know, soon, to simply come to the public and say so. He's the leader of the country now. And if he comes and says, let me tell you what is the direction we are going in at this time, you know, you can start a sense of it from there. And I think it will be very important for the prime minister to do that.
This is what we need.
Yeah, first of all, he's an articulate man. He is a careful man in the use of his words and shows a level of authenticity in the way he expresses himself. I think that he should use those skills to communicate regularly and clearly the thrust of his administration. See, the last thing you want people to do is to be picking up tidbits of this, there, and that from ministers talking and this microphone and that microphone and the next microphone. What ministers should be are words in a sentence provided by the prime minister to give clarity to the population about what his government can do. There's no person in the government of the Bahamas who is able to say my government other than the prime minister of the country. If you hear a minister say that, they are wholly inappropriately saying so.
Lastly,
only the prime minister can say my government.
What you mean? I could say that.
No, you can say that, but it won't have the same meaning. So we're not talking semantics here. The prime minister of the Bahamas was called upon by the governor general to form a government. And the ministers that serve at the pleasure of the prime minister. So it is their government.
Yeah, but okay? they didn't say that. They say they serve at the pleasure of the queen, sir.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Not a minister. A minister, they pledge allegiance to the queen. Allegiance and whose pleasure you serve
Rich
at. It's two different things. The queen did not appoint them as ministers.
No, we appoint
and
them for the queen.
Cannot unappoint them.
Well, boy, last time I checked, they walk in there. The first thing they say is, I serve under her pleasure.
But you are a sensible man now, so let's be sensible. They did not say, I serve at the pleasure of the queen. I took that oath. So you can't tell me what the oath is. They pledge allegiance, right?
Well, that's even deeper.
Well, let's put it like this. They can serve Her Majesty's government, but Her Majesty's government was formed by who?
I don't know who formed Her Majesty's government, sir.
Man, listen to me. This is civics in the Bahamas 101, though. So don't tell me.
Yeah, but I really don't know who formed Her Majesty's, because Her Majesty goes all the way back to Queen Isabella and
Ferdinand. All right, brother. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Thanks a lot. Folks, I don't want to get mixed up in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The government was formed by Prime Minister Davis. He was called upon by the Governor General to do so on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen. All right, all that other nonsense trappings we want to get caught up in, that's not going to help us anyway. The government belongs to him. Only he can hire those ministers, and only he can fire them. We're going to take another break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
BK Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Baja Mar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of Burger King Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win online at bk242.com with and Burger King, where taste is king.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Trying to get a sense of, you know, whether you, forget me for the moment. Like I said, I could be wrong, dead wrong about this and many other things. Whether or not you sense a certain momentum, clarity about the direction or thrust we are going in as a country. And this isn't about necessarily merely what the current administration is doing, because we could have a momentum that has been built up by the former administration. The point of it is, do you have that momentum and that direction? This text says, Mr. Lang, you are absolutely correct. I told a friend that last week. I have not heard anyone articulate a vision going forward. It could be that the governing party now says that essentially that vision was articulated in their report. And they, you know, that could be true too. This text says, Mr. Lang, your question is timely. I and some friends just said on the weekend that it feels like the Bahamas is being driven on autopilot. Seems everything has shut down since election except COVID deaths. Well, I wouldn't say that everything has shut down. I wouldn't say that, but, and you know, a ship of state is a fairly large one, and its turning is not sharp. It's not quick. It takes time. But, you know, if you have a captain, and the captain says our destination X, Y, and Z, and you know, from time to time, even on a plane, the pilot says we're headed into Freeport from Nassau, and we're going this direction, northeast of say Bimini or Abaco or whatever it is, or you know, or Passy Lutra, northeast of Lutra, whatever the deal is, then they tell you what the direction is. And so you kind of get a sense of what's happening. They even give you some take on, you know, how long it's going to take. They give you some thoughts about the weather and whether they may have to navigate around rain clouds and all that kind of stuff to give you a sense of whether to expect turbulence. And they tell you what, they warn you about things. So why do they do that? They're trying to give you comfort and certainty in the journey that you're taking, because when you feel part of a journey, you are more likely to cooperate with the stewardess and the flight attendants and them being called upon you to do, right? Similarly for a country, the more information you get, the better off you are in terms of your own sense of direction and your own willingness to participate and cooperate with what's happening. We've got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Okay, this is like the text. This is a very timely question you asked. And you know, the thing about it is, I don't know if you can help me out with this one, Mr. Lang. You know, we've been having so much we've been having so much 5-year government. I think it's probably playing with the psyche of government, and then I'll take them. Ask them on a time to really get their vision clear and all that, then almost there's almost time to campaign again, 2 and 3 years old. So I kind of sense that they have to really pass some law. I know government's supposed to be continuous, but it don't seem like it's continuous in the last 15 or 20 years. So it's a soft cancel and review and all these other stuff at all being familiar. First example of that is that the post office this season, that they had the old city market and all of a sudden it went back to the town center mall. What about all them hundreds of thousands of was actually spent on that. And I could name a couple other projects, you know, because the road improvement project in New Providence, I would think by now, Old East would have looked similar to Old West. And I'm disturbed about it, you know?
But you know that
the road
when we...
It's far different from the roads Old East. I think they should have been able to improve that at time and continue the road improvement project.
Okay. But you know that, like, you know, when we vote for change is what you're likely going to get, right?
Yeah,
if you vote for change, you're saying that the direction that the other party was going in is not a direction that you agree with. And so if, therefore, the new party takes a different direction, as in, no, I'm not going to do the city market thing anymore. No, I'm not going to do the road improvement in this direction anymore. That's what you vote for. You vote for change.
Yeah, but there's supposed to be a general consensus, even in the, when one of the parties is in opposition. I would think it was a betterment for the country. They're supposed to have a general consensus, whereas if we get in power, it wouldn't make sense that we change this because if this is a PLP or F&M project.
But it's also possible it might make sense not to do so, and so they don't do so. That's why they've been elected to make those choices.
Yeah, but there's a lot of. I can name some other projects.
My friend, what I'm saying to you is, it wouldn't matter if it's 100 projects. If you elect a government, it has a right to decide that 100 of those projects will not go forward. It has a right to do that because you voted for change.
So if government is continuous, can't we sign a medium? Medium to make government continuous.
No. You're misunderstanding the notion of government being continuous. Government being continuous means that if one administration signs a contract with anyone or enters into an agreement with the other one, then that has bound the government. An administration is not continuous. That's why you say the Davis administration, the Ingram administration, the Christie administration. Once they lose, they have lost, and a new administration, now responsible for the government, its direction and control, comes in. They're still permanent secretary. They're still institutions because the government changed. NIB didn't go anywhere. The police force didn't go anywhere. The defense force didn't go anywhere. Lots and lots and lots of things went nowhere.
I got you. But can both parties, meaning the opposition and the governing party, come to an agreement and said that this is a good project. It's gonna transcend or go over the administration if we go into the general election? Could they come to a consensus and say, well, listen, even if you lost the election and we see this a good project, can it be that they come to a consensus that they would still keep on this project for the betterment of the country rather than just having these five year superstars?
That can happen, but once again though, you know, you want to pick the projects that you say haven't been continuing. Let me ask you, Junior Achievement been in the Bahamas?
How long?
Junior Achievement. How long has Junior Achievement been in the Bahamas?
Oh, man, for a long time. And it's been it's a very good project.
Across many governments, right?
Yes.
Okay. How long has the Ministry of Tourism been a part of the government of the Bahamas?
A very long time. It probably started from the South of Dance, right?
Exactly. How long is National Insurance?
Oh, it's from the 60s, from Hubert Alexander.
No, from the 70s. From the 70s. Since the 70s.
From right? He was in the PLP, yes.
Okay, so my point to you is lots and lots of things continue over governments. Lots and lots and lots of things. Lots and lots and lots of things. There are some projects, though, that governments decide we're not going to continue. And that's what you vote for. You vote for change.
Wow. You work for change and then They have a song, like they have a Bohemian song that says, look what you got.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or, that's what's the other song that says, my change is going to come. Because you work for that too.
I put that song in there because I was enjoying your shows on Fridays when you were show about Friday.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, listen,
take care, my friend.
You know,
have a good
one. Educating us and stuff, and you know, government is very complex and
yes.
You just have to keep on trying to really get it right, because
yes.
I don't think it's getting right at this time, because after a year and a half, 2 years, about four different administrations have lost the will of the Bohemian people, and they tend to just say, boy, they keep silent. You just wait until election, which that shouldn't be.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Line, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, boys, I got your text. Lots to talk about. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust again that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at all today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Do I have another call on the line? I don't. Okay. So we're talking really about this notion in my head, just my, you know, limited head, about whether you and I, we can sense some momentum, direction, clarity of purpose in what we are doing as a country. Let me tell you all something. Government does a lot of things in the Bahamas. The government is policing, the government is defending the marine waters. The government is attending to the national security of the country. The government is providing water and electricity and providing social assistance to the needy. It's providing national insurance services and benefits. It's providing education. It's providing healthcare services. It's providing foreign affairs services. It's providing immigration services. It's providing customs services and other revenue measure services. It is providing promotional activity for tourism, and it is attending to financial system matters. It is attending to judicial issues through the courts. It's attending to prosecutions, and it is doing a ton of stuff, providing passports and this and that and the next thing, all kinds of things. And you and I have called upon the government to do so. There are lots of things you could be busy in doing government. Lots of stuff you could be caught in doing government. So is the government busy and active? Of course it is. Would the government have been busy or active if there was no politician elected to be the government? Yes. For how long that could persist without some, I don't know, but it could persist for some time because there's lots of activity going on, lots of things that the government does. But no one provides a sense of direction, of cohesive moving. No one provides a collective sense of purpose to the country, except the executive of the country, which is the cabinet. Are we going to talk about the role of cabinet ministers tomorrow, by the way? We are. They're going to be meeting tomorrow. Are we going to be talking about why they meet tomorrow? So you get that executive direction from the cabinet. So if you want to know, educationally speaking, what direction are we headed in? You will have to get that from the Minister of Education, or the Prime Minister could take occasion to do so himself, right? What is that direction? Like right now, what direction is education headed in? What direction is education headed in? And see, we look at the grades, right? Oh, Coach Marvin Henfield, the coach, my son's shooting coach, the great Marvin Henfield, who was on the show. But Henfield, I'm going to use your concept right now to make in this example. Grades are outcomes. It's like getting a shot in the rim. That's an outcome. An outcome of what? It's an outcome of if you don't get the shot in the rim, it's an outcome of a set of mechanics that you put in place before the shot even gets near the rim. As coach says, it's a question of how your elbow and your hand is aligned, how your hand is aligned with your feet, and what is the position you're doing it from, 1, 2, 3, or 4. It's a question of your body posture and the way your hand fits under the basketball versus that other hand that is there really only as a guide. That he says to my son, listen, don't worry about the shot. That's an outcome. Don't worry about that. Get this mechanics right, and the shot will come more often than not. So we worry, as an example in education, about grades. Are our children getting A's and B's and C's? Because God knows you can't get no D and F. We don't want none of those. I don't care what kind of grade descriptive the Ministry of Education calls them. We are all supposed to be getting A, B's, and C's. Mind you, plenty of us who saying that ain't see a B or an A to save our life and barely see a C ever. But that's how we feel all these children should do. Moment. Those are outcomes. Those outcomes are the result of a set of mechanics that happen in the classroom, that happen in the Ministry of Education, in the Department of Education, that happen in the staff rooms of the teachers and educators, in the houses of the families who send their children to school. There's a set of mechanics that are at work. Now, we have been, somebody said it, we have been practicing a set of mechanics all these years. The question is, what is the thrust of those mechanics? And the question is that thrust working? And if the thrust isn't working, then you need a new thrust. And that new thrust could only come at the direction of the people who lead the government. And so if someone came and said, this has been the thrust of the Ministry of Education thus far, this is the mechanics that we have been practicing our children to where we believe they need to be, the shot in the rim. Now, if your shooting is only producing for you 20% or 30% or 40%, mind you, in the NBA, 40, 50%, you're a great shooter, right? But if you seek a higher result, then you have to evaluate the efficacy of your mechanics. That's the job of the government. is to assess whether using the technical advice and expertise of its educators, whether or not the results are, the mechanics are producing the results desired. And that's what I mean by thrust. So in every area of the country, we are able to examine the mechanics of what we do, whether that's in education, health, national security, infrastructure development, and the like, economic performance, and ask our techs that we have been using work for us, or have we been using the mechanics to the greatest effect so that we can get the results we want, because the results are easy to define. The mechanics is what is necessary to refine. And this is true in our personal lives as well, where if we practice certain mechanics, I can see in my own life in terms of effectiveness or ineffectiveness, where they have been the consequences of no mechanics, bad mechanics, good mechanics, excellent mechanics, etc. And my job today as a human being, forget anybody else on the planet, my job as a human being is I am trying to isolate the mechanics of my behavior in every sphere of human endeavor to try and get the best mechanics to work for me. Whether I'm the best speaker, or whether I'm the best thinker, or whether I'm the best companion, or whether I'm the best father, all of these things. Those are outcomes that can only result from the mechanics I practice. And for too many of us, we are ignorant about the mechanics, we are unpracticed in the mechanics, or we have just got to refine on the mechanics, or even altogether change the mechanics. The same thing is true about a country. And this is what I mean when I say, can you get a sense of the thrust that we're going in because someone has said to us or is demonstrating for us there is now a new mechanics at work. See, tinkering this and tinkering that, you know, undoing this that this person did, it doesn't necessarily mean that the mechanics is for greater effect. Someone could be flying me to Florida from Nassau, but just because we change direction from flying into Florida doesn't mean that I'm going into Canada where I might want to go, because all I did was change direction. I could be going into Cuba, I could be going into Russia, I could be going into any other place. For me to get to Canada, if that is my destination, what I need are a set of mechanics that works to move my aircraft in the direction of Canada. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the thrust. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. I suppose we lost that caller. I'm sorry. Sorry, I was in a thrust. This text says, great show as usual, 99.9% of the times when the pilots say there will be EB lying, all you experience is turbulence on the flight. Okie dokie. All right, this text says, good day, Mr. Lang. Have you heard any details in regards to the policy position of this new administration on WTO? Isn't there a significant deadline coming up in November for this? Okay, firstly, let me tell you all. When the government changed, shortly thereafter, I called the new minister responsible and I advised him that I was tendering my resignation as the chief negotiator for the Bahamas for the World Trade Organization accession. And I subsequently that submitted my letter of resignation to the minister. This is in keeping with protocols. My appointment was under a former administration. The appointment was a diplomatic in nature, and it is normal under such circumstances for such persons to tender their resignation, and so that the new minister might appoint in that position someone with whom he has confidence. And so I am no longer the chief negotiator for the Bahamas, for the World Trade Organization. Okay, so that's the first thing. Secondly, there is no deadline coming up for Bahamas' accession to the WTO at all. It doesn't work that way. You negotiate until you negotiate, or you stop, or you decide, I don't do this anymore. That's why the Bahamas has been at this for more than 18 years, and why China took all, and others can take even longer, because you do it until you decide that it is what you want to do. And so, to my mind, the Bahamas does not join the WTO in the next 5 years, and to my mind. I could be dead wrong about that, but to my mind. And certainly it could be another 10 years before it even comes close to doing so. That's my, in my mind. I could be wrong. I don't know. But that's where things stand at the moment. Right? So we will have to see where, what the government says about this. At the pace things are going, it may be quite a bit of time. It's Texas, it's a new day now. Welcome back on UPLP Party. At least it's time now for the Security Department at the Ministry of Education to be recognized. We are the last paid in government, and we work very hard, risking our lives with no protection, not even getting hazard pay, I think you meant. Always short staff. Also, we have administrators looking down on you. I never want to give cleaning supplies. We would like the Minister of Education to come and take a look and walk around the school to see how the staff are treated and conditions we are working in last, but least the three years of increment, what was taken from the government people, from the FNM party, please give it back to the people. Since the FNM administration seems to be doing such an excellent job as opposition, we will ensure they remain our official opposition. That's hard. That's hard. Ah, boy. But, you know, things change, right? So who knows? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Smoke coming from your window.
Trev, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of.
The RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at all, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. So sorry to have a
FMOPLP,
that the transitional time is too short. It's only been 1 month. And you, and US, although the biggest ship, it takes 3 months of the top lawyers vetting what Biden has to use, right? Like, you have the team that vetted all the chairmen and ministers. But we don't, we give you a day to swear in, but if you don't invite, we haven't picked the chairman yet on the board, right?
Right.
So it's like, but they still want, they still expect changes.
Like,
I think it's going to at least 100 days, like, at least 100 days.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It does take time to get a direction set and what have you, but it doesn't take a lot of... Remember, see, in that period of time where you are doing all those, all that mechanical work too, it doesn't take a lot of time, though, for you to communicate in a cohesive manner what it is that you are seeking to do. That's helpful too. Now, mind you, for instance, some of the ministers have been making comments about any number of things. But what I hear a lot of times, and I understand it, it's a reaction to what has been done. We're reviewing this, we're looking at that, et cetera. Yeah. I understand that. But I'm saying what the prime minister and ministers can do to be helpful is put and keep their agenda before the public. That's your agenda. Remind them of what you are working at, not just merely what you are trying to correct what other people did or review what you are trying to do. That's to look forward, to be hopeful, to be positive. That's what all of us need in our lives.
But I noticed the United States Cabinet Ministers, they don't talk to the press unless something big happened in their ministry. Biden was talking.
Who is this? Who is that?
The cabinet secretary that for Biden, they don't talk to the press often. Biden was talking for his ministers or different. He got to deal with it, comes to his desk. But I guess each minister do they want talking without talking to the prime minister, and that's caused a clash sometimes, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't.
I noticed, right?
If you're in
prison, they ever said, you know, nothing about that. But only me one could do whatever happened.
No, but that's when you, if you're operating a cohesive cabinet, it isn't difficult to be on the same page.
Yes.
Right?
Remember when Prime Minister Ingram ran away and Brett tell everybody, but go back home. Ingram was really upset. You ain't, he didn't pass it to Ingram's brain.
Yeah, but those are incidental. Those are incidental things. Those are incidental things. That can happen. But we're talking about what you regularly and ordinarily do.
Everything you the time is on the phone call away, run it by your boss. With some ministers ready, like taking advantage. I have the told in my ministry, I got the last say, which is not true. And also, okay. I want to ask a question: do I really be shredding government papers when government changes?
I don't know anything about that.
I believe government paper should be, because government bought it and you're supposed to shred it unless you have something illegal on it. It should be against the law to shred government property, right? It should be a real major crime, like in the States, guys, that you cannot, everything is owned by the U.S. government and it be put into an archive, everything.
All right, well, I appreciate you calling. Thank you for calling. Thanks a lot. Okay. We have a text here that says, good afternoon. I believe in your opening salvo, you were being cute by saying major. I believe the proper term was that the current administration came in promising a new day. And I wasn't being cute at all. I used the word I wanted to use. Though only 1 month, there was nothing significant. We as a people ought not to allow their ready on day one become subject to gradualism. Mr. Davis was hired from being the leader of Her Majesty's loyal opposition. He was there when bills were passed. He obviously was oblivious to how to start. Many of this, his current issues he is faced with today is due to not being prepared to govern. Now, you know, let me say that there is some truism in the statement. It is true that often members of the opposition, when they come to office, act shocked about things which, honestly, it is not appropriate. You can't be shocked about the state of the fiscal affairs if you come to government, if you're in the House of Assembly or in the Senate, because the bills and stuff for the borrowings and all that kind of stuff and the approvals for the expenditure all happen in the House of Assembly and the Senate. Now, you can be surprised by the cash position, because you're not privy to the cash position of the government. But if you are any kind of member of parliament worth your weight in salt, the cash position isn't difficult to ascertain, because the overdraft limit for the government is set by the Parliament of the Bahamas through a vote, just like it is in the United States of America, right? There is a formula for the overdraft that is, I think, the average of 3 years of revenue, a percentage of the average of 3 years of revenue. And so that could be $250 million at one time. It was $300, $400. So you can't be shocked, and the government can't go beyond that, and the banks aren't going to allow the government to go beyond that, because they have limits themselves set at home. There are limits to how much transfer the central bank can do to the government, right? You can't borrow more money than has been allocated, has been approved by the parliament. So this notion that you are stunned by the fiscal situation would be like me saying, I'm stunned by the fiscal situation and I'm not even a member of parliament, right? And especially if you say it's much worse than they are saying before you come to office, it's worse, right? So I agree that that this notion that you ain't know and you're just trying to find out, but it does take time to know the details of programs, projects that have been undertaken. And it takes time to do that, But the truism also in this statement is that that's why I said, your program, what you are seeking to do, you put to the public in a manifesto or a plan. And therefore, pick the thing up, keep it before you, and keep it before the people you lead, and let it be your guide. Now, take for instance, the Prime Minister has continuously said, we made a promise that we will reduce the VAT, and we will do that. He said, we will put a bill before the Parliament. It's likely to be an early bill to reduce that. So that's an example of keeping your program before people. And that's the way to do it. It's you want to get them to know where you're pushing. Because if you keep looking backward at what others have done, that's not a good way to drive forward, right? What you want to do is keep people's eyes and attention focused upon the thing you and we are seeking to achieve. Because that's the way you get energy and momentum build up in the system. We have some text here. Says, as long as it's not law that you shall resign. No, it's not law, it's convention. The reality is that I set a negative precedence in the Bahamas, as if one who is worthy of an appointment is not eligible to carry out his or her duties. I don't know where you coming from. I don't know what you learn and understand. My friend, if you have been politically appointed to something, it's not a technical appointment. This is not a contract I have. Yeah, okay? It's not a contract. It's a political appointment to serve a government. And if the government, a new government comes in, you can have one or two choices. You could resign, or you could be forced to, you could be fired. Now, I sent my resignation in to the minister. He doesn't have to accept it, you know. He doesn't have to, or he can say, Shivaga, I'd like you to X, Y, and Z, so forth and so forth. But you are dead wrong. I mean, like dead wrong. It's not a question of law. What law appoints somebody as chairman or anything? No law. Not law. It's these things are conventions. I'm not trying to set up anything about people being eligible to fit. If I, as somebody, the former administration had confidence in to serve as chief negotiator, why would not the Progressive Liberal Party, having won the government, have somebody that they have confidence in too? Why would I'm the only human being on the planet who could do that? Come on, man. Philip Galanis served before me under the Christie administration. I served under the Minnis administration. All right? So people don't listen to this stuff right here that this person is telling, right? They don't understand. I'm sorry. They don't understand. This text says, good day. Do you think the Bahamians will ever get a chance to benefit from our natural resources? I think Bahamians benefit from their natural resources right now. Because unfortunately, for some reason, some of us have taken up a narrative that natural resources is only aragonite or something like that. But a natural resource for the Bahamas is its geographic location in this tropical climate that it exists in that has attracted many to its shores. A natural resource is the resources in the Bahamas are beaches, which you have benefited from enormously by virtue of its attractiveness to your folk. Natural resources are your marine resources from which your lobster fishermen and all your fishermen who bring you all the grouper and conch and snappers and jacks, all of those are natural resources from which they are benefiting as business people and all the seafood people who benefit from them. Your natural resources are your soil from which your farmers grow whatever avocado or onions or whatever else they grow. Your natural resources in this country is your air, which is breathable and quite pleasant when the trade winds come off the sea. That's a natural resource. And your natural resource is your people. Who have been the beneficiaries of the collective labor, industry, and productivity of the country over all these many years. You are benefiting enormously from your natural resources every single day and have been doing so for decades. Can we benefit more from our natural resources? You absolutely can. This question, Mr. Lang, is the leader of the opposition a part of the governing cabinet? No, he's not. No, he's not. He's part of the opposition. The cabinet that consists of the prime minister and his ministers. That's it. Says most of us were not happy with the F&M administration because the country was being governed by the former prime minister's favorite, and that did not help us. The Bahamian people want the best country. Okie dokie. So I think it's a fair observation to make that it's been a relatively short period of time for the Davis administration to be able to let's say shift the direction of the country in terms of you actually see a movement in a different direction in some areas. I agree with that entirely. That will take some time. But signaling a direction change, that's possible. If you signal a direction change, that's possible. We heard the speech from the throne, and as I indicated, I saw in the speech from the throne some amendments that are proposed to bills, one or two new bills. Did they represent a sea change of direction? For me, no, because a lot of the bills were amendments, which meant that whatever the former administration did, had some good in it, and therefore now there's really basically a tweaking, because the bill represents a direction. And if you're going to amend the bill, you're essentially not so much changing direction, maybe as speeding up or slowing down, or maybe varying a little bit in a direction or the other, but essentially you're going in the same basic direction. For instance, let me give you a change of direction. The Progressive Liberal Party implemented the VAT. The Minnesota administration increased the VAT. That wasn't a change in direction. The Davis administration wants to reduce the VAT. That's a slowing down of intensity. That's not a change in direction, because that is even a percentage, 2.5 percentage points above the direction that they had set when they were in office last. A change in direction would, I'm going to get rid of the VAT. Even if you reduce VAT to 2%, that ain't a change in direction. There's still a VAT. It'd be a significant reduction in the intensity, but the policy is we still need and want a VAT. So there's no change in direction when it comes to VAT in the country. There's no change in direction when it comes so far in terms of indication, when it comes to the tax realities of the Bahamas. To change direction would mean to change policy. Policy change would mean the regressive nature of our tax system would be altered to a more progressive nature. You would have to change your tax instruments in order to achieve that new direction. Any tweaking of up or down of existing taxes is not a reform as to bring about a new direction in taxation, but largely merely a tweaking to adjust the intensity of same. So that's not new direction. New direction, if you're in education, is we now teach our children, we give them almost, I think it might be 8, 9, 10 different courses that they take during the course of any given year, the math, geography, or social science, social studies, or English, and general science, or art, and all these things we give these children. If you change the curriculum a bit in each of them, that's not a change in direction, that's a lowering or raising of intensity. Even if you lengthen the school year, that's still not so much a change in direction as increasing the intensity of study. But if you said, listen, we are no longer going to focus on all these courses. Well, no, even if you focus, we're not going to do all these courses. We're going to focus on these core set of things and have our children focus on that. That could be a change. That'll be a change in intensity. It could be an important change, but it won't be directional change so much, right? If you say that teachers need to be certified every year, you are changing direction. And we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. Safe and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails. and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad that you could join us today. You know, it is, if you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, this issue of contract versus appointment versus permanent employment is an issue which people really have to understand. Especially when governments change, because it is a lack of understanding in that direction that causes a lot of people to get ticked off with the government very early. They think, there are lots of people who think, once you come to government, man, you could chop the next place. There are also lots of people who think, just because the government changed, I don't have to change. But that's not true. If you have an appointment that was solely the judgment of a party in office that wasn't a part of the establishment employment or engagement process, like you didn't, if you get a job in government and that did not go through the Public Service Commission for there to be your permanent employment with the government, you got to be on contract. And you could be on a one-year contract with the government. You could be on a two-year contract with the government. And a permanent secretary, unless something has changed, a minister can, so long as there is budget to do so, give a two-year contract to someone. The permanent secretary can sign off on that as the chief administrator and chief financial officer of a ministry. If the contract is more than 2 years, it has to go to the cabinet of the Bahamas for approval. But that the cabinet approves it only means that you now have, and it will be signed by the permanent secretary, not by the minister, only means that you have a government-sanctioned contract, which once duly executed by the permanent secretary, the government has to honor no matter who comes to office. But once that contract is up, it's up. And as long as clause in the contract appropriate to the contract, as is required by law, it can early terminate a contract. As long as it honors the terms of the contract, the termination clause. So that is possible. But that only applies to contracts you signed with the government. If you sign a contract with BPL, if you sign a contract with the Water and Sewage Corporation, if you sign a contract with Bahamas Air, if you sign a contract with the University of the Bahamas, if you sign a contract with any of these entities that are established as entities in their own selves in law, you sign, government has responsibility for those corporations ultimately, and even though the government is a major fund of the University of the Bahamas, that contract is with those entities. And that contract has to be honored like any other contract. And if the government decides, oh, I don't like you, or I don't want you because those people hired you, they would have to get the board of the corporation or the trust of the university to execute that will to terminate that contract in accordance with the contract. Can't just snap it and say, man, the end of that. Get that of them, put them there. That can't happen. It could happen, but the person would have grounds to go to court and sue. Right? So might as well we understand what is happening. So if your contract is ended, even if the contract ended prior to your the government changing, you no longer have a contract. And so if the government then decides that, okay, after this month, you're done. If you got that appointment by another administration, why are you crying? You got the appointment because one administration favored you. If another administration doesn't favor you in the same way, as long as they are not breaching a contract of engagement for you under law, no harm, no foul. Now, if they try reach into the private sector and say, oh, I don't like them, get rid of them, or something like that, that's nonsense. Don't let me. That's nonsense. But some of you are political headhunters, choppers on the FNM and BLD side. I've seen it up close, personally. I've seen it in my own life. Personally, on the FNM and BLB side, you have people say, oh, using FNM and so forth and so forth. Listen, I've seen it up close and personal in my own life. Headhunters or choppers. And I saw in the PLP up close and personal. That. Let me tell you something. Again, let me say this before I make this statement. If you have a contract that was given by the government, because of you as a political personality, they wanted to do something for you and instructed X, Y, and Z as such. As long as you have a contract, I don't care where it is, that's duly executed, they are duty bound to honor that contract. But if they decide not to continue with that contract, after they come to office, if they have direct responsibility, do not decide to keep you, there's no problem there. But I want to say this to you. If you are one of those persons, FNM, PLP, or otherwise, who is out there simply trying to chop people because you think that their politics should discredit them from getting something, you are an enemy of the state of democracy in the country. That's what you are. You are an enemy of democracy. You want me to say it again carefully? If it's your view that merely a person's politics discredits them from having a duly legitimate position in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you are an enemy of democracy in the Bahamas. And you are not manifesting either right thinking or fairness or a sense of nationalistic integrity in the country. You're not. When the government of the Bahamas takes taxes from the citizens of the Bahamas, the government doesn't ask, is this dollar from the FNM? Is it from the PLP? No, we don't want that. Throw that away. Is this from the DNA? No, we don't want that. Throw that away. The government of Bahamas doesn't do that. The government takes every nickel and every dime that comes from any source, politically partisan or not. Why? Because they are taxes of the public of the Bahamas. And the government, therefore, on the basis of that, has no right to partisanly spend the taxes of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The PLP can spend its revenue, its, the party's money, however it wishes. The FNM can spend its party revenue however it wishes. What it cannot do in office is use public funds for partisan purposes. Can't do that. It could do that and it could get away with it so long as we are not observant or we, but it is not supposed to be. That's why the funding for a political office, the member parliament's office, is supposed to be for an office that's not decorated in partisan colors, is not used for partisan purposes, so that if a PLP shows up to an FNM MP's office, or an, and they could say, they could show up in their shirt. If an FNM shows up in a PLP's MP's headquarters and request services, request an understanding of legislation and all that kind of thing, that member of parliament would be not only politically stupid to do so, but would be entirely inconsistent with the responsibilities and duties of his office funded by the state, and the PLP the other way. Not in that office. Once you walk out that office, a distance from that office, you could do whatever you want if you want to take that political risk. But in that public-funded office, that's not your campaign office. You shouldn't be holding campaign meetings in that office. You shouldn't be holding partisan political meetings in that office or anything partisan. Why? Because the monies that's funding it came from FNMs, PLPs, COIs, DNAs, independents, etc. That's why. And so if you are interested in your administration, past or present, merely politically exercising judgments on people on a partisan basis, it's called victimization. You support that? Do not talk to me about loving this country or democracy or loving the people in the country. Don't talk to me about it. You do not. Utter nonsense. Now, if you aspire to what, as you may think them to be PLP, FNM, or you may know them to be PLP and FNM, if you aspire to that position, that's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing even wrong with you saying, you know, saying to people who might have influence to do so, I would love to be in that position. Nothing wrong with that. But that ain't have nothing to do with your calling around asking people to chop nobody's head in order for you to get that position. That's nonsense. And sooner rather than later, some of you have to understand the country you're living. And that the people in the country that you live in ain't the same set of people as from the 1960s, 70s, or 80s. Ain't that kind of party. Right? So the new administration has a lot to do. It will take time for it to get some results in respect of that work. But I encourage it to use, listen, the media can be your enemy or your friend. I'm not talking about the people in the media, because some politicians take that approach, you know. They think some people are their enemies, that some people have it out for them and so forth. Now, mind you, it could be true that there are personalities in the media who could have personal beef with so-and-so. That could be true. But I don't think it's generally the case. In any event, they still have a responsibility and duty to abide by certain ethics of how they conduct themselves, and professional ethics at that. And so, but the media can be your ally or your, depends on your usage of it. And there has to be more intentionality and deliberateness about that. I've seen on LinkedIn, Mr. Rami, who is, I think, working some part of the media for the government. He does a very good job consistently just posting what the government has done in some ways. There's no raw partisan politics about it. It just posts government did this, government did that. That's effective. People read it, they see it, and they get a sense of what has happened on that occasion. Latrell Rahming does it. So it's an effective thing to do. If you're in the media and you're representing the government, listen, the last thing, the subject of the media, your clients, the government, should be the subject of the media. You should be invisible, but all that you do should manifest the work of the government. And that, if you're strategic at that, people can know, understand, perceive with clarity the direction in which the government is going. And that helps all of us. That helps the country, that helps the society, it helps the government, it helps us make progress. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. Listen, stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. Nahaja Black is up next. God bless you.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Z Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Burger King, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and BTC.